I want you to imagine the future in motion, where all cars are green, bicycles rule, and public transit is fast, frequent, and fun. It's a world where mobility is sustainable and accessible to everyone, where energy is clean and abundant, renewable and affordable, where communities aren't just smart, they're intelligent and nurturing places to live. So come along and explore that world with me on this EV World Future in Motion podcast.
It's my privilege to be able to talk by Skype this morning with Lord Paul Drayson over in London. Paul is the founder of Drayson Technologies, and he has his team has developed some very interesting technology that I think is going to have an important role in the Internet of Things. And he's also been involved in the EV world. He is the record holder for a land speed record in electric vehicles, and he also happens to be involved, at least tangentially, with the Formula E racing. So we want to kind of catch up on that, and we particularly want to talk, Paul, about your FreeVolt technology and clean space, because I think that's going to have an important bearing on helping us address some of the issues regarding urban air pollution and climate change and some of those things. So welcome back to EV World.
It's a real pleasure, Bill. Great to be speaking with you again. And of course, you and EV World have really been part of this journey that we've been taking here at Drayson Tech. And FreeVolt is a great example of a brand new innovation which has come out of the way in which motorsport has been at the forefront of innovating for sustainability, trying new technologies to do what motorsport does best, which is to inspire people about what the future can be like and use their crucible of competition to find out what works.
Okay.
And it's a great example of how the work which we pioneered a few years back in the use of very high-performance electric drivetrains, and in particular the world land speed records that we went for, and the technologies that we experimented with at that time to achieve those records. You'll remember, Bill, that one of them was the use of wireless charging for the car.
Yep.
And in that case, the technology using magnetic induction to transfer very high power levels, 20 kilowatt system, to the vehicle. And it was that which really sparked my interest in the possibilities of wireless technology. And so, it has been that which has led to us really exploring the use of wireless technologies in other domains, and in particular the use for connected devices and the Internet of Things. So I just wanted to sort of preface this by saying it's another great example of tech which has come out of motorsport.
Yeah, well, what's interesting, of course, is we're talking about, if you will, opposite ends of the energy spectrum. We're talking about wirelessly transmitting 20 kilowatts, which is roughly about, I think, about 10 times what most chargers will do, although we've got chargers now that obviously will do connected chargers that'll do more than that, but normally most chargers, particularly if we're talking light electric vehicles, are down around the 2 kilowatt range, and this is 10 times that, which is pretty amazing. And so now we're talking about having the ability to use energy at the opposite end of the spectrum, and I hope you can't hear the noise going on upstairs. Unfortunately, we had somebody come to do a repair, and they arrived a little later than I expected. So please ignore the noise if you can hear it.
No problem. So you're absolutely right. It's completely at the other end of the energy spectrum. So rather than the 20 kilowatts that we were working with the wireless charging system, we're talking about harvesting energy from the wireless radio transmissions created by the wireless networks, Wi-Fi and so forth, cellular networks, 2G, 3G. Now we're starting to see the deployment of 4G technologies. And we undertook a survey to measure the amount of radio energy that was available in the typical urban environment some years ago, back in 2012. And we discovered that in a city like London or New York, you'd be seeing energy levels in the tens of nanowatts, 10 to the minus 9 watts of power available that was wasted energy through the nature of those kind of transmissions. And so what Freebox is able to do is to harvest that energy, which is very small, as I said, in the order of tens of nanowatts, by using a very efficient antenna, rectifying circuitry, and power management, what we're able to do is to harvest enough energy to power low-energy connected devices. And because, of course, with the effects of Moore's law and the increasing efficiency of microelectronics and electronic circuitry these days, the actual power demands of modern devices is getting lower and lower and lower. And so what we've found is that the density of wasted energy available for us to harvest and recycle is now sufficient to power these sort of devices. And so we're really excited about this because it's the sort of ultimate environmentally friendly technology. We're not transmitting any extra energy. We're just harvesting wasted energy from what's already transmitted. We're using small antennas in a small handheld device to harvest that energy, and we can use that to power a device which we think in a really cool way is used for measuring the quality of air that's around us. So to create a personal air pollution monitor which has a Bluetooth low energy connection to smartphones, that the people have a device which they can keep with them, which shows them the air they're breathing, such that they can then see from hour to hour, place to place, how the air is changing. And they can then, with that information, that knowledge, adapt, change the way they travel, what they do, to improve their overall exposure to air pollution. And of course, all of the emphasis on the switch to electric vehicles is really predicated by not only the importance from a climate change perspective, but very important within cities, the growing health crisis, frankly, being caused by air pollution, the majority of which comes from internal combustion engine and traffic. And so we think it's really cool that an innovation from electric racing technology has led to a new technology for really doing something about air pollution in our cities and arming people with the knowledge to be able to know what it is they're breathing and then make a difference for themselves. Yeah, I think the final step in this really is that in creating clean space, the application of this technology to a network of connected sensors is that we both provide people with that information, that data on their exposure to air pollution, but we also use that to take that information up to the cloud, to combine those data streams from all of the different sensors, if you like, those citizen scientists, if you like, who are carrying sensors, to then anonymously put that data together to see trends for the way in which pollution changes in cities, which then we can use as evidence and to inform and help policymakers to really help accelerate the adoption of electric vehicles in cities and to get this bad air out of the, you know, our daily lives. So I think it's a nice example of how we're using technology to both inform and to empower people to accelerate change.
Right.
Change that I know you know, Bill, very, very clearly understand is absolutely necessary if we're to stop climate change and to improve our health.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we have here essentially is two pieces of technology that you've combined: the FreeVolt technology, which essentially is a device for just simply capturing radio waves that are all around us as part of just the energy spectrum of the way we communicate in a modern society, using that then to power a second device, which in essence is a sensor that detects what, and I guess I'm a little unclear as to what it is the sensor is actually measuring. Is it sort of ozone levels? What are you measuring?
Right, we've chosen, so we took some advice from environmental scientists on this, and the question we asked them in deciding what to measure was, what is the right aspect of pollution to measure to give people useful information both outdoors and indoors in their home, in their office, in their car? And the advice we got was carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is a good indicator of all overall ambient air pollution in cities. It's a product of incomplete combustion, and therefore it does vary with the level of overall air pollution. The mix of air pollution varies depending upon the vehicle mix, number of diesels, and so forth. But overall, the level of carbon monoxide relates to overall air pollution outside. But of course, air pollution and air quality in your home is as possibly even more important because you spend more time in your home.
Right.
And that really can be a silent killer. Carbon monoxide, you can't smell it, you can't see it, you can't taste it. Every year, people unfortunately are killed by having problems in their home, a boiler that's not been properly serviced, or with some stories about people who've been camping or in their caravan and have been poisoned by carbon monoxide. So therefore, a sensor which both provides you with information which is relevant inside the house but outside on the street, and that's why we've chosen carbon monoxide. We see in future that future products will have other sensors. We think nitrogen dioxide is an important pollutant to be measuring next. But right now, Bill, the Clean Space sensor is a carbon monoxide sensor.
Okay. So, and the beauty of this is that this device, which in essence, from the photographs I've seen, fits on the back of sort of your standard smartphone, your iPhone, takes no energy from that. It just simply uses this free energy that's in the environment, the radio energy, allows that to drive this sensor, and then that sensor communicates via a Bluetooth LE transmitter inside of the device with your phone, so that you can see this. I assume there's an app that goes with this too.
Yeah, there is indeed, Bill, and the app is now available worldwide, so your listeners and your readers will be able to download it. It's Clean Space, all one word, and it's available both on Apple, on the iOS platform, the Apple App Store, and on Android at the Google Play Store.
Okay, so how much does the, I know you did sort of a Kickstarter type campaign to get this going. Tell us a little bit about how successful was that, how many units do you have, and how might people be able to acquire them today?
So the Kickstarter campaign that we did was very successful. It was sold out, so to speak. We achieved our target, and we have now but it was a UK campaign, so it was it was done here in the UK, and we're now just coming up to 20 weeks since we launched the Clean Space product in the United Kingdom. And as of today, I can see we've got 49,000. We've just gone through 49,000 members of Clean Space. So we've already got a really strong, I would say, critical mass of people using Clean Space here in the UK. At the moment, it's all over the UK in terms of the membership. It's a large group of people here in London from where I'm speaking. But we're now starting to see Clean Space being taken up all over the world. We have regulatory approval for the sensor device in Europe, and we are going through the regulatory approval process with the FCC in the United States, and we're hoping that will be completed very shortly, which will then give us the ability to bring the CleanSpace tag device on sale in the United States. So now, as of today, Wednesday, 27th of January, people can download the app. They can start using the app, which gives them the sort of first level of functionality. They can see in the app information on air quality where they are, anywhere in the United States, or anywhere in the world, frankly. And then once we have regulatory approval, if they pre-order on our website, then we will send to them directly to the United States once we've been through those approval processes, which we hope to be really quite shortly.
Okay.
So the nature of the technology is you just receive the sensor device through the post and you pair it to your phone and off you go. You never have to charge it or change its battery. It just works.
Okay, that is so cool. So and the cost of this for people here in the United States when it is approved?
It will be £75 sterling in the UK, including taxes. It will be the equivalent in the US currency,
okay,
excluding the taxes, but with import taxes.
So, all right.
But it'll be approximately that £75, whatever that is in the current currency. I'm just looking for my currency calculator to work that out.
Okay, no, I've got one. I can do it here too on the on my Mac. Right. So, let's talk a little bit about the racing environment. You had for the first season, at least briefly, as I understand, you had one of the Formula E teams. That was subsequently, from what I understand, bought by Trulli. GP,
yes.
and so sort of bring us up, what's your engagement right now with racing?
Yeah, so as you recall, I was a scientific advisor to the Formula E Championship and helped get the championship launched. I did acquire one of the team slots, as you say. But I came to the conclusion as the technology started to get traction that essentially I had to choose between either being on the racing side or being on the technology side. And I decided that being on the technology side would be the right place to be. What helped me in that decision, Bill, I have to admit, since I had a crash at Monaco, as a result of which I'm an inch and a half shorter than when I saw you last.
Oh, no. So, you were driving?
So I was racing at Monaco had an issue with that steering on the race car. And we straight into the bed, just past the back. And so that I ended up hurting my back a bit. So that encouraged me to make the decision to focus on the technology of the race. Very pleased to say I'm fully recovered. My son thinks it's hilarious that he was suddenly taller than me, but James is growing quite fast. But no, I decided to focus on the technology. Really glad I have, because all that energy that you, as you know, I put into racing has now gone into the business and technology, and it's really flying, really taking off.
Good.
Still absolutely committed to the success of Formula E and racing. Still have my racing license and then certainly see myself racing in future. But Formula E is going from strength to strength. The first season was a huge success. The second season now underway is going well. And I think it's going to be an absolute stalwart of the calendar. Seeing the potential of electric vehicles, I think, just to be serious for a moment, the scandal of the Volkswagen diesel events, I think, have been a major tipping point towards electric vehicle adoption. I think people have been really quite shocked what happened there. But it's brought home to people that we really do need to accelerate electric vehicle adoption. So I think that has really strengthen the case for why racing in cities with electric is the right way forward. And I hope that other racing championships will start to increasingly adopt electric and hybrid vehicle technologies. As you know, Bill, my favorite type of racing is Le Mans endurance racing.
Yep.
And that's already highly hybrid. The LMP1 cars now are effectively very electric a lot of the time over a lap. And it's great. I think it's a really exciting time to be an engineer, really exciting time to be an entrepreneur, really exciting time to be a racing driver, because all these technical changes are happening in our lifetimes. And whether you're looking at what's changing on our streets, the way in which car company after car company is now coming out with new electric models, the way in which it's becoming part of the mainstream, and the way in which you're seeing, I think, this recognition that the way in which we have been living our lives, breathing this air, polluted with the product of exhausts from vehicles, can't go on.
Yeah.
You know, it's really having a serious effect on our health, having a serious effect on our planet. But I'm pleased to see that we're now getting some real momentum on doing something about it.
That's
really, really good to see.
That's great. Hey, what is it exactly that you, what is it exactly that your company is providing to Formula E at this point? Is it just consulting services? Is it actual physical technology?
So we provided the wireless charging technology that's in the first year. Now what we're doing is we have a marketing and a partnership around the air pollution, the use of clean space and FreeVolt with Formula E. So it's very much aligned with the business, our business focus now.
Okay.
We've really focused not so much now on the high power end of wireless charging. I mean, we did some very innovative work, worked with Qualcomm, that all worked very well. But now we're really focused now on the low energy end, recycling energy from ambient wireless transmission.
Right.
That we talked about.
Right.
Formula E is a fantastic platform to take the message to people in the cities that here's a technology which came from electric motorsport being used to measure the air pollution in cities and help make the change.
Right. Can you talk briefly about what the business model is for the clean space technology here? You're making some money off of selling the device itself. What other sort of revenue streams do you anticipate from this? And maybe talk a little bit about what was the process of, is this something you've self-funded? Do you have a group of investors that are involved?
Yeah. So the business model for the company is that our overall mission is to make FreeVolt technology the technology powering low energy devices, to be the power source for the Internet of Things. So our revenues come from selling the technology which makes FreeVolt work, the antennas, the components, the circuitry, the intellectual property that other companies that make consumer electronic products enable their products with FreeVolt technology, much in the same way. So our aim is to establish FreeVolt like Bluetooth has been established as the operating standard for connected devices. We want to be the standard for powering those devices.
Okay.
CleanSpace is our first product application, and our business model from CleanSpace sells devices both through retail channels and business to business. So we sell to companies, deploy them, use them in their own businesses, but also to gain insights from the data that comes from the device, which then can help us provide insights to, so for example, people designing transport systems in major cities, people who are concerned about the impact on air pollution, to use that data and that expertise in a sort of a consultancy way to inform them, to help them with the business challenges they face. So an example there, I'll give you a good example, Foster and Partners, a very famous architectural practice, have designed some of the most beautiful buildings in the world. They've always taken a very environmentally sustainable approach to their building design. And what we're doing is now using CleanSpace as a tool to get a better understanding of how people use buildings, how air pollution affects them in those buildings, and how buildings can be designed to use natural ventilation, to be energy efficient, and to avoid for example, taking air from street level, which is typically polluted, and sticking it into air conditioning systems. So it's a fascinating technology because it, you know, we all share the air we breathe, and therefore everybody shares this issue. And what we found is that CleanSpace and the FreeVolt technology is a sort of rallying point for people who want to work together to improve the quality of the air we all breathe in lots of different applications, whether that's companies that are in the air conditioning business or they're in the transport business. We've got some very exciting collaborations with electric vehicle manufacturers. So BMW i, with their fantastic i3 and i8 vehicles, working with them on CleanSpace. And we hope that other electric vehicle manufacturers, not just cars, but electric bikes, will come on board with the technology because it's very relevant to the mission that they're on,
right,
to take pollution out of our cities.
Very cool. Hey, I know your time is pressed here, and I did want to speak to you a little bit off the record about my project, Quick Bike. So I do thank you, and I'm sure the readers also thank you for all of the effort that you put into this, and including putting the life and limb at risk. I'm glad you came through fine, and you're back in back fit and fiddle again. So, Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks very much, Bill, and hi to all of your readers and listeners out there in EV world.
All righty, great.
You've been listening to an EV World Future in Motion podcast with Bill Moore. For more information on the world of electric vehicles, subscribe to evworld.com. This has been an evworld.com Incorporated audio production. Copyright 2010.